Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alvaton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Amen. As you grab your seat, grab your copy of God's Word and go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Man, I love the book of 1 Peter. July 4th, 1776, meeting in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at the Pennsylvania State House. 56 delegates from the 13 American states. They made a world-changing declaration. They unanimously declare their independence from Great Britain and from its king, King George III. Of course, it would take a war to back up that declaration of independence, but nevertheless, they declared it and gave birth to a new nation known as the United States of America. Now, in that declaration was delivered one of the most important philosophical lines in the foundation of this nation. Thomas Jefferson, the primary drafter, writer of the Declaration of Independence, wrote this most important line found in the first sentence of the second paragraph there in the Declaration. He said this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." As we prepare to celebrate the birth of our nation, that word liberty has stood out to me so strongly. Liberty is the state of being free, right? Having the power to do as you please, the ability to do what you most want to do. It's a foundational tenet, right, of America. Liberty is. In fact, the USA is synonymous with freedom. Our national anthem sings in that closing line: "Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the what, church? Free, and the home of the brave." This is indeed the land of the free. Here in America, you're free. Praise God that we're free. But I want you to understand this morning, and this is important for you as a Christian living in America, I want you to understand this morning that with freedom comes a great responsibility. Amen? With freedom comes a great responsibility. It is a gift from God, endowed to you by our Creator. You're free to do whatever you want to do, but when we stand before God, we'll give an account for how we handled our freedom. It's a gift that you and I must steward well. Therefore, I'm going to call you this morning. Here's today's takeaway: don't waste your freedom. Don't waste your freedom. Don't blow it. Don't misuse it. Don't squander it. Don't waste your freedom. And principles found in our text today, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, will help you and me to not waste our freedom. So I want to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. As you stand and as we open the Bible, I want you to understand that every word in here is true. It is the Word of God and is authoritative for your life and for mine. Here's what it says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16 says, "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God." Now let's pray together. Father, today as we sort of cross-section and collide our Christianity with our citizenship here in America, God, I pray that you would give us a fresh vision for what you want us to be. You have given us an amazing opportunity here in this nation to worship you as we see fit, as your scripture sees fit, as you've revealed to us in your word how to live. So, Father, I pray that we would not waste and squander that opportunity, but would maximize it. Father, I pray for every Christian citizen here this morning that America would be better because we're here and we love you, Father. God, I pray for those here this morning who have come in, who have not yet repented and trusted Jesus. We pray that today they would begin to live for a higher calling, and that calling is the calling of Jesus Christ through the gospel. The good news that sinners can be saved by grace through faith in Christ. And so, Father, would you move in our midst? We pray this today. And all God's people said, amen. Go ahead and grab your seat there. So, 1 Peter 2:16, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. So if you're not going to waste your freedom, first you must do this. Four things today to help you not waste your freedom. First is you've got to enjoy your freedom, man. You've got to enjoy it. Peter says here in our text, live. Live as people who are free. And I take that to mean that you and I are to enjoy it. Live freely to the fullest. Go where you want to go, right? Do what you want to do. Be what you want to be. You don't have to get permission from anybody. No governor, no officer. You don't have to go through a council. The only person that you are accountable to is God, your creator, who gave you that freedom. So I say to you, enjoy your freedom. You know, every year, a U.S.-based non-governmental agency called Freedom House, they produce this report that's called Freedom in the World. That's what it's called. And it rates the degree of civil liberties and political rights, such as free and fair elections, the rights of minorities, freedom of the press, the rule of law. They rate this in every nation around the world, and then they designate them as either free, partially free, or not free. And they've been producing this report since 1973. This report found that out of 195 countries that were rated, only 87 countries in the world are considered free. That's 45% of the world's countries. 59 were considered partly free. That's 30%. And then 49 of the countries were considered not free. That's 25% of the world's countries. But when you take the population of the world into account, the population in each nation there, we see some different percentages here. For instance, we basically see that almost as many people who are free in the world are not free. 39% of the people on planet Earth live in a nation that is totally free. But 37%, almost the same number of people in the world, live in a nation that is not free at all. People all over this world would risk their lives to come to a nation like this. And so I share these stats with you to say this. You should never take your freedom for granted. You know, you may remember the video and hearing the story of that of the soldier from North Korea last fall, last November, who risked his life to cross the border. Y'all remember seeing that video? I mean, it was just amazing. Go back and watch it. I mean, he's driving his Jeep, and American cameras there on the demilitarized zone is catching it all, taking it all in, man. And he's driving his Jeep, and his Jeep only goes, he goes as far as he can with his Jeep, and the North Korean soldiers are chasing him, and then he goes as far as he can, and he gets out, and he runs, and they're shooting at him. He gets shot 5 times, but he doesn't stop. He runs until he can't run anymore, until he falls down on the ground, and then he begins to crawl. He begins to crawl his way to freedom, and finally, eventually, he made it to freedom, represented by crossing that South Korean border where he received medical attention, and he lived. Guys, freedom was that important to him, yet 2.8 billion people in the world live in nations like North Korea where they're not free. So I say to you this morning, American Christian, you are very blessed. There are Christians all over the world that live in awful places where they don't get to do what we're doing right here. So I say to you, be thankful. Don't take it for granted. Enjoy your freedom. But political freedom is one thing, and it's important. I praise God for that political freedom. But if you're going to really enjoy your freedom, you've got to couple your political freedom with spiritual freedom, right? That's what the Bible wants most for us. If you're really going to enjoy your freedom, then you got to add spiritual freedom to your political freedom. Jesus said this, John 8:34. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. In other words, sinners are not free. That means that there are people right here in America who are politically free, but they're not spiritually free. Every person in this room right now is politically free, but there are likely people here
in this room who are not spiritually free. You are enslaved to sin. And the only way that you get set free, and the only way that you can live that freedom, enjoy that freedom to the fullest, is to repent and believe on Jesus Christ. Jesus said it just two verses later in John 8:36. He said, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So I say to you this morning, beloved, you will never fully enjoy your freedom until you are set free spiritually by Jesus. So don't waste your freedom. Run to Jesus and enjoy your freedom to the fullest. But if you're not going to waste your freedom, you must not only enjoy your freedom, but secondly, you must defend your freedom. I stand you today a bit, not as a prophet, but as a truth sayer, right? Peter says here, 1 Peter 2:16, live as people who are free. You got to live as people who are free. And if you're going to live as a people who are free, you not only must enjoy your freedom, but you must defend your freedom against those that want to take it from you. Freedom politically is something that ebbs and flows. In fact, the 2018 Freedom in the World report that I mentioned a moment ago, it noted that 71 countries suffered declines in political rights and civil liberties. Only 35 countries actually registered gains. And sadly, Freedom House noticed that this marked the 12th consecutive year of decline in worldwide freedom. That means that freedom, Christian, must be defended. Here in America, we have seen freedom threatened, right? Religious freedom in particular threatened. How many of y'all have seen that, right? It's everywhere, guys. Every day it's another report about how religious freedom is being attacked. Well, First Liberty Institute, which is a legal organization that is focused primarily on the first liberty in the Bill of Rights, which is religious liberty, they produced this report last year that showed that attacks on religious liberty here in America had doubled since 2011. 2016 saw more than 1,400 acts of hostility against religious expression. Guys, it's happening in public places. It's happening in schools. It's happening in the military. It's happening to individuals and against churches and against business owners. And so everywhere we look, religious freedom is being challenged, and the threat is real. It's real. On Saturday, I'm going to board a plane, and I'm going to travel north of our border to Canada, to a nation that is reportedly very free. But just this past week, a man in Canada, in Toronto, was arrested and charged with a hate crime. And what was his crime? He dared to pass out pamphlets at a gay pride parade that communicated that homosexuality can lead to diseases and that Jesus can save gay people if they repent. He was arrested for that. And for that, he's been charged with a hate crime, and he could face up to 2 years in prison. That's insane, man. That is insane. But don't you think for a moment, church, that it couldn't happen here. There are many, many that would love to see that happen right here, and the numbers seem to be growing. I mean, California, right, it's already passed legislation that makes it a crime to advertise, offer, or engage in efforts that help homosexuals overcome the sin of homosexuality. Right, religious liberty is under attack. But Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." Church, don't give ground. Don't go back. Therefore, if you and I are going to live as people who are free as God calls us in 1 Peter 2:16, we've got to defend our freedom. Third, if you're not going to waste your freedom, you must advocate against ungodliness. Let me say that again. If you're not going to waste your freedom as an American Christian, you must advocate against ungodliness. Look at our text again, 1 Peter 2:16. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Now, what that means, church, is that our freedom in Christ is not a license for wickedness. Paul rhetorically asks, Romans 6:1, he says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, can we just sin a whole bunch of me? If God's grace is so good, can't we just sin all we want and God's grace is going to cover it? And we know the truth of the fact is that yes, God's grace is greater than all of our sins. But I want you to see Paul's answer, and he's emphatic with this. He's forceful in it. Romans 6:2-4. Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And here's his answer. By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So church, our freedom should never be a cover up for evil. In everything that we do, we should live in the righteousness of Jesus. Right? We should walk in the light as he is in the light. Therefore, we should use our freedom to reject ungodliness. And I want to declare to you this morning that is actually what freedom is. That actually is what freedom is. From a biblical perspective, freedom is really not being able to sin. If you take notes, write that down. Freedom, really, from the Bible, is not being able to sin. That's true freedom. You see, oftentimes we define freedom as the ability to sin or not to sin, right? I've got this choice I can make. I can sin or I cannot sin. But if that's the definition of freedom, then God is less free than you and me. Because God, the Bible says, doesn't have the choice to sin or to not to sin. The Bible says that God cannot sin. But God is not less free than you and me. He's more free, right? God is the freest being in existence. Therefore, true freedom is being completely free from sin. And one day, beloved, the Bible promises us that we will one day be glorified. In other words, one day you and I will be made like God in this regard, as God is unable to sin. Those who are in Christ will one day be just like him in that we will not be able to sin. And then you and I will be the freest we'll ever be. But what do we do until then? When the choice is put before us, do I sin or do I not sin? The choice should always be, don't sin. We must live in the righteousness of Jesus. But not only should we live in that righteousness, we should advocate against unrighteousness, advocate against ungodliness around us. That's exactly what God calls us to do in Ephesians 5:11. Ephesians 5:11, Paul says, the Holy Spirit says through Paul, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Expose them. You see, we're to lovingly call out unrighteousness. We are to shine light on them. Like many of our brothers and sisters have done with the abortion industry. Just like Christian men and women who stood 2 centuries ago and boldly spoke and prophetically spoke to abolish slavery in America, and they gladly took on the name abolitionist. We as Christians, man, we should boldly and prophetically speak out in the face of abortion. And again, we should take on the name abolitionist. That's who we should be, right? Call out unrighteousness where we see it and stand up for it. Shine light on it. We should stand up like many Christians have done with the recent treatment of illegal immigrants their children as they cross the border with their parents. Listen, I'm not going to get into the weeds of all the politics there because immigration is such a complex issue and so much of it is clouded by political grandstanding, but we must, as a Christian people, go above and beyond to care for these children. Anywhere we see unrighteousness, we must advocate against it. We must oppose it and then be salt and light. As Jesus calls us in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, he says this. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds or your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." I preached this that whole passage there just a few months ago. I guess it's been several months ago now. And if you were here on that Wednesday night, you heard me say that so often when it comes to salt and light, we play up, and when we preach this and teach this, we play up the difference between salt and light, right? We talk about all the characteristics of salt, which are, you know, all these things, and then we count up all the characteristics of light, and we talk about be salt, and then on this other side, be the things like light. But I think what Jesus is doing there is he's actually playing up on the common thing there between salt and light. And the common thing is this: they are both change agents. When you introduce salt into its environment, it melts stuff, it preserves stuff, it heals stuff, right? It adds taste, it flavors stuff. When you introduce light into an environment, what does it do? It heats and gives light and all the things that comes along with that. And so I believe what Jesus is calling us to here is that we are to be change agents, right? To change the world around us. And so I'm calling you this morning. I'm calling you this morning as you oppose ungodliness everywhere you see it. I'm calling you to be godly change agents for righteousness in a world of unrighteousness. We've been given a great freedom, and we must not waste it. Therefore, we must advocate against ungodliness. Finally, if you're not going to waste your freedom, you must maximize your service to God. Maximize your service to God. Look at the text one last time, 1 Peter 2, 16. God says to you and to me, live as people who are free, and using your freedom, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. You see, as a free person, you are free to do many things, right? But the end of your freedom, the ultimate end of your freedom, the purpose of your freedom is to give you the freedom to serve God. That's why God has set you free. That you might use that freedom, not waste that freedom, but use that freedom to serve God. The Greek word here for servant is actually the word doulos. And doulos literally means slave. There's actually another word for servant in the Greek. But the word that God inspired Peter to write to you and to me in this text is the word doulos, which means slave. Now think about that for just a moment. Man, isn't that such a paradox? He is calling you and me to use our freedom to be a slave to God. Use your freedom to be a slave to God. That's why your freedom was given for you. You see, people in 2018, they don't like the word slave. So our modern translation used the word servant. And servant's fine, but slave. You see, when you surrender completely to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who bought you. Let me say that again. When you surrender
completely to the lordship of Jesus Christ, who bought you, you are maximizing your freedom. When you maximize your service to God, you are maximizing your freedom. So I'm calling you this morning, man, be completely sold out to God. Where he says go, go. What he says do, do it. What he calls you to say, say it. Whom he says to love, love them. And how he says to act, then that's how we should act. Your life and my life should be a blank check to God. God, do with me what you will. Wherever you say, go, I will go. Beloved, this nation should be different because there are Christians who are free slaves to God, bold servants of the living God. I say to you this morning, if you want to start a revolution here in America, then become a radical servant of God in both word and deed. It takes both word and deed. You know, oftentimes we want to go the other way, one way or the other, right? We'll really focus on one and ignore the other. We get really good at focusing on word ministries, talking about how this is wrong and that's wrong and this is what's right and that's wrong and all that stuff. We're really good at judging everything, and Scripture calls us to judge between what's right and what's wrong. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Are we just going to flap our gums? Are we actually going to get out there and make a difference? Are we going to couple the word with action? And of course, there are groups that really focus on the action, right? On the deeds. They feed, they clothe, they house, they advocate, all these other things. But their word ministry is so weak and almost non-existent. We can't fall into either ditch. Beloved, it takes both. So I'm calling you. Stand up for what's right. Proclaim what is right. Advocate against what's ungodly. But then put all of that into action. Right? Put it all into action. Preach the good word while doing good works. God wants us to do both simultaneously. So I wonder this morning, are you maximizing your service? I want you to rate yourself here for just a moment. On a scale of 1 to 10, are you maximizing your service for God? In other words, are you taking every opportunity? On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate yourself? And some of you might say, you know what, Pastor, if I was like you, if I was set aside for ministry, I would maximize my efforts so much more. Right? This job that I have just kind of gets in the way. You're missing the point. You see, your job is the opportunity that God has given you to maximize your impact for Jesus. We can't all be preachers. Praise God that we're not all preachers. Praise God that he's put you in banks and in schools and in factories and wherever else you work. Praise God that he's put you there. He wants you to maximize that opportunity right there. Not look for another opportunity, maximize the one that he's given you. Preach the good word while doing good works. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. In other words, maximize your service to God. Here in America, perhaps more than any nation in the world, you have been given the greatest stewardship of freedom. I've traveled in a lot of nations, and many of you have traveled in a lot of nations as well. I've never been in a nation as free as the United States of America. And because of that, you and I, if we're not careful, will simply take it for granted, and we will waste the stewardship that God has given us.
I'm calling you this morning, church. Don't waste your freedom. Here's my final prayer. May America be better because we take every advantage of our freedom in Christ. Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and He stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what He has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow Him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.